We're now going to have our Bible reading. So please turn to Matthew chapter 5. That's 968, page 968 in the church Bibles. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
Great, thank you, Susanna, very much. Do keep that passage open in front of you. And as the band take their seats, I've got a question for you to discuss with the people around you, and it's this on the screen. When was the last time you were persecuted for your faith in Jesus? When was the last time you were persecuted for your faith in Jesus? Give yourselves about 2 minutes to chat about that whilst I do some furniture arrangements. Off you go. Great, why not come back together? Now, I appreciate that question may have thrown out all sorts of answers. I guess for some of us sitting here, some of us watching on the live stream, we are going through real life situations where we are being persecuted for our faith in Jesus. It might be at home, in the workplace, the neighborhood, our friends, perhaps online. And through the centuries, many Christians have known what it is to be persecuted for their faith. And this morning, we've heard stories of how Christians in Afghanistan are being persecuted for trusting in Jesus. And the cost for them seems so high. It's easy to see what persecution looks like if you're a Christian in Afghanistan. But that's not us. We don't live in Afghanistan or North Korea or Somalia. And so I guess some of us may have struggled to answer that question. We may not have been able to think of any time where we've been persecuted. So it could be tempting to think that these verses that we've had read to us, especially verses 10 to 12, don't apply to us. We live in Worcester. What persecution is there possibly here for us? Now, of course, as we've thought about, we must pray and support our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted across the world. Of course we must, in the ways that God enables us to. But we need to be prepared when persecution comes in our lives. And that's what these verses are all about, especially verses 10 to 12. That's where we're going to spend our time this morning. We're going to join Jesus up a mountain. He's sitting down. I'm resisting the temptation to do that right now with these comfy chairs. And it's his first equipped morning that he's doing with his disciples. He is preparing them for what life with Jesus as king will look like. Back in chapter 4, he's handpicked these guys to follow him, to be his first disciples. And we know that in their lifetime, they knew what it was like to be persecuted. And we can take heart because their response to these words was mixed. When the persecution heat was on in the Garden of Gethsemane, their response was to run away and leave Jesus on his own. And yet by God's power, they were given the strength to stand up and follow Jesus. So Peter and John were put in prison for speaking about Jesus. John's brother James was killed for his faith. The apostle Paul was beaten up, stoned, and imprisoned for speaking about Jesus. So these guys would know what it would be to stand up for Jesus and to do that in his power. But back in chapter 5, as Jesus prepares his disciples to live with him as king, he says to them, when you are persecuted, consider yourself blessed. Now that word blessed can mean happy. So you could read verse 10 as being happy are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. And verse 11 could read, happy are you when others insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of things against you. So we probably need to stop right there and take in the shock. Because Jesus says we are to be happy when we're persecuted, insulted, and falsely accused. And if you're like me, being happy about that is not my natural reaction. I'm guessing it's not yours. Because I want to be liked. I want people to think good of me. I don't want people to think bad of me or ill of me, especially when it's not true. So whether it's being slammed on social media for standing up for biblical views on marriage, or being shunned from your friendship group because of something false said about you connected to your faith, whatever it is, we're not happy. Upset, angry, vengeful, frustrated even. But if you're like me, being persecuted or insulted for your faith does not make you happy, and you don't consider yourself blessed. And so here's the good news, if you're feeling like that this morning, that considering yourself blessed or happy is less about what you have and what's happening to you, and is more about who you are. People tend to say, don't they, that they're blessed when they have close family and friends, or they have children or a nice house or car or holiday. And in one sense, that's right. All good gifts that we have come from God, whether we're a Christian or not. But as we heard in these verses that Susanna read to us, being blessed seemed to be more about a status than what we have. Have a look at these verses with me. Verse 3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Being blessed seems to be more about who we are. Which must make sense. Because for our brothers and sisters in places like Libya, Afghanistan, North Korea, they're not blessed simply when they lose their homes and their families and their lives. They and us are blessed because of what and whom we're being persecuted for. Did you see that in verse 10 and 11? Have a look down with me. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. See, Jesus says the reason we are blessed when we are insulted and persecuted and falsely accused is because we are living with Jesus as King. So when you live for him at school in how you speak about your teachers, how you honor him and how you play and respond to a bad tackle on the sports pitch, how you honor him and how you act at work, as you love and serve your non-Christian family, in all those ways you can honor Jesus as King. And yet sometimes that will bring opposition. For some Christians across the world, going to church like we are right now, or openly declaring their faith to their friends and family, brings trouble. And yet whatever our situation is, persecution can come as we seek to live God-honoring lives in the places he's put us in. So here I think comes the application and challenge for us. Because as I've thought about it this week, I've wondered whether a reason why I'm not persecuted for my faith is because it's not hugely obvious in my words and actions that I'm a Christian. Now that might sound crazy to you. I'm on the staff team at church. My working life is at church. My week revolves around church. I stand up and declare at some point during the week to children, young people or adults about Jesus. But outside of that, what about my witness at the school gate? My football team? My neighbours? My family? Is it as obvious then? Now, of course, I don't know what people are saying about me behind my back. They might be saying that poor, deluded man who puts on nice activities for the children and loves dressing up. Who knows? If you've heard that, most of that's true. But it may be for some of us today that we need to hear that challenge, that we're not persecuted because no one knows about our faith, or we don't make it that obvious. Now, I'm not saying we go looking for persecution, and we do need to be wise about the ways we do that in the situations God puts us in, and we will fail. Look at the disciples. But it's at least worth thinking about whether that might be you this morning. Jesus calls those who are persecuted for him as blessed. And one of the reasons for that must be that when we are persecuted for our faith, it shows that we're living with Jesus as our King. Persecution can actually bring a blessing of assurance. So whether it's standing up for Jesus amongst your friends or family, or being discriminated in the workplace, there's an assurance that we must be being distinctive for Jesus because there's a reaction. The Apostle Peter, who knew what it was to be persecuted for the sake of Jesus, wrote these words. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So here it is. If we are trusting in Jesus, then you bear the name of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one whom, because of his great love for us, died on the cross so that we could have life forever with him. It doesn't get any better than that. And so while it's tempting to be ashamed as you're the only one in the RE class standing up for Jesus, or when you're grilled in the coffee shop for being a Christian, Peter says, praise God, because in that moment, you've nailed your colours to the mast. You know, as a footballer kisses the badge of the team they play for when they score a goal, or the winning athlete does a lap of honour with the flag of the country they represent. So in a situation where we might find it easy to feel anything but praise, Peter says we can praise God for the opportunity to stand for Jesus even when it brings pain and sorrow. Now look, I say that humbly because I've not suffered as many of my brothers and sisters over the world have done. And so I say that statement humbly, but also say it because it's true. And because as we do that, we can be a witness to those who are bringing us suffering. God can actually use our witness to those who are persecuting us to bring them to know him. And the reason I know that is the Apostle Paul. If you know the story of the Apostle Paul, in Acts 8, we first find him standing there approving of Stephen's death as people are stoning him. Then he goes on his own mission, destroying the church, going house to house, dragging off men and women and putting them in prison. That's Paul's story. And yet, in God's incredible plan, the persecutor becomes the persecuted. He later trusts in Jesus for himself. And part of that plan is Stephen, faithfully standing up for Jesus, nailing his colours to the mast, so that in God's timing and by his grace, the Apostle Paul would come to know Jesus, and the rest is history. Look at the blessing that man has been to the church. So Jesus says, when you are persecuted, consider yourself blessed. But secondly, rejoice because of the reward to come. Jesus says the reason we can rejoice and be glad as we're persecuted for him is because our reward will be great in heaven. Now, it's worth saying there's no indication of persecution performance-related pay here. All those who live as Jesus with King are part of his kingdom, regardless of the level of persecution they face. But the promise of future reward reminds us that there is more to life than now, and next month, and next year. Because there is a reward when we keep our heads down. There is a reward when we keep quiet about Jesus. There must be, otherwise you and I wouldn't do it. And often the reward for keeping quiet is an easy life, relatively. Because it is easier not to live and speak for Jesus. For some of our brothers across the world, it would mean not being disowned from their family, not waking up with the fear of death. Praise God for the courage and grace he gives them to do that. Keeping quiet would mean we wouldn't upset that new, fragile relationship or friendship by mentioning Jesus. You may not fall behind the promotion race at work if you don't speak up. You won't rock the boat with the parents at the school gate as you defend your beliefs in the context of relationships and sex education. It's very tempting, isn't it? Very tempting to be very comfortable in this world and lose sight of the world to come. I know that because that's me. And yet Jesus says in verse 12 that your reward in heaven is great. And one reason for that must be that whatever reward we receive in this world for not living for Jesus can only last as long as we live. So the protected, fragile friendship, the sought-after promotion at work, the easier life, well, they all have an expiry date. And yet the reward to come in heaven with Jesus as King is forever. No sorrow, no sickness, no stress, no sin. And there we will be joined by those who will come after us, some of those who we may have had the courage to share Jesus with. Have you ever thought about that? How exciting it will be to spend eternity with someone who God gave you the courage to speak up to about Jesus. But we'll also spend our time with those who have gone before us. That's who Jesus mentions in verse 12. Do you see that at the end? For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And I think he does that to remind his disciples and us that suffering for living with God as King is not a new thing. It's not a New Testament thing. We're simply walking in the footsteps of all those who have gone before us. People who have faithfully lived and spoken for God in a world that doesn't want to hear it. And who have suffered the consequences for faithfully speaking and witnessing. So let me give you a few examples in the Old Testament. There's Isaiah, who faithfully proclaimed God's word to a people who weren't going to listen, and he knew they weren't going to listen. How discouraging is that? Or there's Jeremiah, when he faithfully proclaimed God's word to the people of Judah, and their response is to say, kill him, and insult him, and mock him. Hannah's told us about Daniel, who for praying and continued to pray, gets thrown into a den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego get thrown into a fiery furnace for refusing to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. And so persecution has always been the life of a faithful believer. And yet, with reward in mind, let me take you to Hebrews 12. Because the writer there calls us to fix our eyes not on what's going on around us, not on what's happening to us, but on the one whom we are persecuted for. Let me read these verses to us. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. These verses remind us that Jesus knew exactly what it was to be persecuted. In his life, Jesus knew what it was to be insulted. As he endured the cross, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others. He can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. That next time when you're falsely accused and endure opposition, Jesus knows what that's like. Because in his trial, the chief priests, the whole Sanhedrin, they looked for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death, and they found nothing. So when persecution comes, we can take heart and not grow weary, because we follow in the footsteps of the one who's been there, who was persecuted for righteousness, and who died on a cross so that by his death, you and I could be made right with God and know the joy and glory of heaven forever. And so don't be surprised when persecution comes. Don't think of it as something strange or unusual. But instead, this morning, rejoice. Because on the day when Jesus returns, the world will know that Jesus really is the way, the truth, and the life. They'll know that he was worth the persecutions, the pains, and the public put downs. Because one day, the whole world will see the glory of Jesus. They'll see that he is the only one we should worship and adore. They'll see he is the one who has given them life, breath, and everything else. He is the one who holds the key to eternal life. And so until that day, may these words that we're going to sing in a moment be our response to what we've heard this morning. Now, Lord, I would be yours alone and live so all might see. The strength to follow your commands could never come from me. O Father, use my ransom life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be. My only boast is you. It's a commitment to live for Jesus alone, to live in a way that's distinctive and obvious, and yet to do it that makes little of us and much of Jesus. It's a declaration of submission to ask God to use our lives, which he has saved us, for his plans and purposes, so that we may live our lives pointing to God and him alone. So as the band come up, let's pray now that God by his Spirit would help us to respond rightly to him this morning, wherever we're at. So let me pray, and then we'll stand and sing, "All I Have is Christ." Heavenly Father, thank you that we can fix our eyes on Jesus. And thank you that as we do that, we recognize that he was insulted, falsely accused, persecuted, and ultimately killed so that we could be made right with you. Thank you for the privilege it is of bearing his name. And in a week where we have no idea what's going to happen, please help us to stand for you. And if we're persecuted as a result, help us to consider ourselves blessed by fixing our eyes on the reward to come, the joy of being with you and being with your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.